I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, panelists discuss BLAST 2020, Stacey Abrams' rebuttal to the State of the Union address, and the free summer lunch program. Those topics and more coming up. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. I'm joined by my regular panelists, Blake Odd from Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney from WXAG, and Lee Shearer from the Athens Banner-Herald. So the first thing on our agenda is the latest from the proposed SPLOS 2020 project. So I know, Lee, you have been going to far more of those meetings than I have, since I have gone to none.
You and me both. Right. Lee's getting the scoop on it.
Lee's our,
getting
the scoop from Lee's our expert.
Those four-hour meetings.
Except we're missing one right now as we record.
Right. Well, you can tell us what the latest is.
Well, on Saturday, I went to a meeting of the SPLOS committee. They reserved a couple of Saturdays. And in their previous meetings and in meetings on through this month, they've been hearing proposals from proponents of each of the 88 proposals worth $1.2 billion. But this time it was a kind of a review where they were trying to get a sense of how they were feeling about the projects they'd already heard about, and got little stickers for yes and no, and then talked about it and then did the stickers for yes and no again. And a couple of things struck me. One, everybody loved, well, 14 people said, we love the library. We like the library. Which is most of the people there.
And the library, that's for the Eastside Library, yeah, right?
Sorry. Eastside, yeah. Yes. Eastside Library. That's really important.
And nobody liked the Westside Park, the Recreation Park. And one member of the committee said he thought that's because there are so many park and recreation proposals, 22 of them, only 6 from Parks and Recreation, the rest from support groups, friends of this and that, that there's a feeling that we have so much maintenance on our existing parks and renovations we need to do. We don't need to create more operating expense and so on and so forth. And then there was the voting on the $71 million judicial center, which changed a lot in the first and second round of voting after they talked about it, with about, I forget how many, 12 or something like that, 4. And 3 against it. Nobody loves it, but I think some people are being convinced that it's needed.
What kind of information did they receive in those small groups, and who participated in that? Was it only the members of the commission?
Of the committee.
Of the committee.
Yes.
Only the members of the committee. Okay.
Yeah, and the information received is...
was that 10 minutes that they'd already had.
And supplemental materials on some of them. And they've asked for alternative projects on a good many of them. Another one that got all negative votes, I'm sorry to say, but it's understandable, was Cook's Trail, the best trail in Athens, but it's going to cost $5 million to fix it. Maybe it should never have been built because of the ecological sensitivity of the area, but it's...
And we already spent, it was in another SPLOS, right?
I think it was originally built with SPLOS, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think it was mainly built with volunteer labor, including a lot of guys from the Navy Supply School, which was here. It goes through wetlands and right alongside Sandy Creek. Sandy Creek has shifted course. It's built out of wood because you don't really want a highway for bicycles or something. And so it's very susceptible to damage.
Right.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say that in the last SPLOS, it concerned me that at least the project for Sandy Creek Park was replacing what had been done by the first SPLOS. And so I think it's really important that when we budget these things or when we plan them, that we do it in a way and with materials that are long-lasting, because it really heightens the cost of maintenance that we're applying through the SPLOS rather than the getting it done where we can depend on it to stay in place.
Well, look at what happened with the World of Wonder Playground, where, you know, they built that and within 10 years they had to totally replace it because of the shoddy materials that they use, and that was a SPOS project.
Right, but that was also the first one was done by volunteers.
Right, but I could be wrong about this.
I
remember it was done by volunteers, but I mean there was some money involved because they had to actually buy the equipment.
The Southeast Park, there was a little bit of money, but my understanding was when they redid that, I asked the same question, and I think it's a valid one. But my understanding was that it was those things that had a lot of fantasy and creativity that had been done wonderfully, but they had been done with materials that were not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. But another thing that is on my mind about this SPLOS, Special Purpose Local Option Sales Tax, it's also about not whether we need more courtrooms and better security for the judges and another park for the west side. We do. They can at least get some land before it's gone. But it's a vision of what our community should be and where it ought to be heading. And it's, to some extent, libraries versus courts and training centers for police.
So I think you're kind of getting at the idea that there are things that we can probably do that are preventative, that maybe we won't need all these additional courtrooms and law enforcement facilities, hopefully, in the future. Is that kind of where you're headed?
Yeah. Plus, the state has embarked on this criminal justice reform, which Brian Kemp has said he's going to continue. We'll see.
And the commission is going to be talking about that, too, locally. I mean, I think that's on their March work session agenda, is they're going to be discussing the criminal justice system.
Yes.
And local reforms as well.
And if that proceeds, we ought to be having less need, not only for police and jails, but for courtrooms. I mean,
still going to have the same number of judges. You know, it's not like if there are fewer defendants going through the system, that doesn't mean that we're going to have fewer judges or need fewer courtrooms. You know, we're still going to have the same number of judges and the same number of courts. We have all these various courts.
We're going to have one
and
more with that business
even,
court.
We may have even more of them, you know, all these accountability courts, you know, that need judges and need space. So I don't know. I think the courtroom space issue, I think, is a separate conversation from, you know, reducing the number of people going through the system. I don't know that they're totally tied together.
You don't think that translates at least somewhat into space needed?
I mean, like I said, it's not like we're going to have fewer judges, you know, unless it gets to the point where, like, we don't have enough work for the judges that we have, but I don't see that really happening. I mean, maybe if they took a judge away, but that's not, I wouldn't envision that happening,
you know,
anytime in the future. I mean, it took us, I mean, how long did we were begging for a fourth Superior Court judge for years and years and years before they finally gave us one.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, they have a backlog.
And we're not only talking.
They do civil stuff, too. It's not just criminal. And that's not going to be, you know, that's not going to be less. That burden is not going to be lessened on them. So.
Right. I want to kind of get back to SPLOS because I am, I've been accused of being against SPLOS in a couple of comments that I've made on this program. And I want to make it clear that I am for SPLOS. Athens-Clarke County is so small and has the largest amount of property off of the tax rolls of any county in Georgia, I would bet. We have
almost half.
45% is what I heard today.
Sounds pretty close to me.
Yeah, 45%. And then it's over half that we're rented.
Number
You're right.
Nine of 409 metro areas in the U.S.
Wow. Uh-huh. Okay. In the U.S., number nine. Wow. And where'd you get that, Lee?
From the University of Georgia's Economic Outlook luncheon today.
Yeah, Jeff Humphreys. That's great. I think it's that we have more rental property than more than 50% rental.
And it's a misconception though that renters don't pay property tax because of course the landlords
of course
pay
they
property
do.
Tax and they
yes.
pass that along to the renters.
Right. Yes.
But that's a very common
points.
Misconception.
Right. Right. But we cannot pay for the dreams and the needs of this county with just property tax when we have that much off the rolls. And I really believe that, and the state, look at the state, what they just did with the income tax. They reduced their income by $330 million with the income tax change that they made in March of last year. So this year, we'll be in a situation where even more of the the state's going to have less money to help locals than they have now. The other thing I would say is that the Department of Revenue has never been accountable for the amount of money it collects or the way it distributes its money or how often. And that's not as much a problem for us because we're rich, so much richer than other counties. But the reality is that these small counties they live from paycheck to paycheck, literally, and they have no idea what it will be or where it comes from, just like us. And so I think we really need to recognize that SPLOS is the answer for our community, but we need to spend it in a way that we need to continue our transparency and our citizen involvement, and we need to spend it in a way that does help us to pay for the things that we want and to support. But I think the state needs to give us more flexibility in maintaining.
I'd like to ask you in particular about the citizen committee, which I think may have started when you were the mayor.
Yes.
It seems to be unique or nearly so in counties, and I think it's great that we have this citizen committee.
Thank you, Lee. I'm really proud of it, and I think it's crucial that citizens be seen as making a major part of the recommendation for what we put on the SPLOS. But the other thing that I continue to be concerned about is the lack of involvement of citizens in some of the groups, the advisory groups for each one of these projects. That was a major part of the initial proposal that we developed and was accepted when I was mayor, was the continued involvement of citizens and their control of making sure that what the monies were meant to, in their minds, are applied the right way. And that has not happened. Our staff is the vast majority and sometimes the only, quote unquote, stakeholders involved with some of these projects. So I'm really hoping that this commission will, be forceful in making sure that citizens are continued to be an important part of the project.
Well, some praise on the show. That's great. Let's move on to Stacey Abrams giving the rebuttal to President Trump's State of the Union address Tuesday night, and really big spotlight for Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, I mean, it put her in front of a national audience, and it's not like she hasn't been there before. I mean, she was kind of a fixture on the talk show circuit when she was running for governor, but it was interesting because that job, giving the response to a State of the Union has really been, I mean, it's almost been like it's almost cursed.
That's right.
I mean, you can probably, a lot of people probably remember Marco Rubio with the water or
a drink of water. Who knew that would derail him?
one of the greatest gifts of all time. Right. And Bobby Jindal talking about volcano monitoring and, but she did fine. Yeah.
This is a woman that thrives on pressure.
I think she does.
Yes, I think she has a huge amount of intellect, and when she gets in those situations, she just brings it to the forefront and relaxes and smiles.
I might have had to take a drink of water on my forehead.
There was nothing very interesting in what either one of them said, though.
Yeah.
she gave her stump speech, and I mean, it's hard for me to even judge how well she did. I know she didn't mess up. That's obvious.
She did not mess up. Right.
She did not mess up, which is job number one when you're doing that. I've heard it so many times, that it's, it's hard to evaluate, when you've heard the same story so many times that it's just kind of like ho-hum.
Well, because we're home state, she came to Athens.
Right, and you have to remember that there are another, 300 and however many million people out there who have never heard this before. So,
right.
And she's right. much, she's much more polished, I think, than, you know, she was never not polished, but she's become more polished, obviously, as
she's,
you know, than when she started running for governor. So
when she's had a lot of practice.
She's a pro at this point, yeah.
Right, but, you know, I question the strategy because, like you said, I don't know how many millions watched Trump, who did better than anybody expected. But I wonder how many didn't just turned off their TV, you know, because people can only take so long. You know,
and
they're
Trump's
watching
speech
this
was
sausage.
Almost an hour and a half.
That's right. He always, yeah, he has no control. But anyway, but and the strategy of having a, at this point, not a politician. She has no elected position at this point.
Although she's going to run against David Perdue, isn't she?
Now, that was something that I wanted to bring up because, I mean, I think the fact that she was tapped for this and she accepted it, I think that makes it a lot more likely that she probably isn't going to run against Perdue in 2020.
Maybe a sign.
Instead of running against Kemp again in 2022. And I think that's probably a smart choice on her part because she's riding this wave, you know, this crest, and she's, you know, she's a national name at this point. You know, she can raise just as much money as she possibly could ever need, you know. So, I mean, I think that striking while the iron is hot is probably pretty smart on her part because, you know, 4 years is a long time in politics, especially these days where everything seems to move so fast that, you know, she's not going to be the
hot new rising star up and coming in four years,
you know, but she, you know, she can basically start running for Senate pretty much now, you know, and you know, take advantage of all the attention that she gets.
Timing is everything sometimes,
right.
You know, if you take advantage wherever you find it in politics and well, everywhere. But
well, and hopefully our Democrats will have enough sense not to beat her up in the primaries. And
she'll clear the field if she runs. Nobody is going to run against her.
I hope because I know I think the National Democratic Party will be big supporters because Chuck Schumer is actually the one that's been urging her to run for Perdue's spot. So she'll have the kind of national level. And of course, in Georgia, you always wonder about. Where does that third party guy come from? You know,
is there going to be a libertarian?
Yeah, right. Is there going to be somebody that messes it up? You know, kind of thing.
Well, but if it's a libertarian, it's good for a Democrat because then
supposedly
you can get into a runoff if you've got 46-47% of the vote. You don't need to get 50 necessarily. Although Democrats have a very poor track record in runoffs, so I'm not sure how much of an advantage that is.
And independents have a very poor record sometimes of knowing what that party stands for.
Right.
It's really interesting.
And I think Perdue is vulnerable. I mean, he was one of the first elected officials to back Trump. And you know, that might have looked like a smart play in, you know, 2016 maybe, but now it's not looking so good. And I mean, he's tied to Trump at the hip. And, you know, if Trump doesn't win Georgia, you know, for one thing, if he doesn't win Georgia, there's no way he's going to get reelected president. But, you know, Perdue may not get reelected to the Senate either. I mean,
that election will be about Trump.
It'll be all about Trump. And the way that people vote straight party tickets now, you know, if Trump loses Georgia, then I think Perdue loses too.
That's a big if
right now. And having Abrams on the ticket, I think, is going to help whoever the presidential nominee is as well. So,
Well, you know, she got the largest number of votes any Democrat running statewide has ever received in Georgia.
Now, she got the second most votes that any candidate has ever received in Georgia ever.
Right.
Brian Kemp got the most, but... Right. She got the second most in history.
Right. And so that kind of turnout at the midterm, we know should be an indicator that we're going to have a good 2020. But I tell you, you know, it's all all who shows up and right. and what kind of weather we have.
Right. Well, if it's anything like last year, everybody's going to show up. You know, people talk about are Democrats going to show up, are Republicans going to show right. up? Everybody showed up.
What percent of the vote was early voting? I don't know.
I think it was about half. I don't remember the exact percent, but
there
I think
were definitely
it was about
long
half.
Lines yeah. for early voting.
Yeah, well, especially
that's
in Athens Clark County,
where
you're not
going to
have that again. Yeah. Oh, my God. So.
But, I didn't mean it like that. But, yes, people really turned out for early voting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And well, that didn't stop them on the regular day.
I mean, there were more, yeah, right. I mean, there were more people than voted for president in 2016.
It's tremendous.
Yeah.
And we're going to move on, come back to Athens, and that's some good news about the free summer lunch program that it's still going to continue. There's some changes being made to it, and because the housing authority is no longer going to be the site for the deliveries, I guess. They're no longer involved. So now it's just a school district who has been providing the food all along, right, Lee?
Yeah, the Athens Housing Authority about 30 years ago took over this federally funded, state-administered program from the city of Athens, I think it was, to distribute free lunches. This is designed for low-income people where they don't go out and do a test around Athens. And they distributed about 46,000 last year, I think. But they have
lunches, not to people, right?
They have decided they don't want to do that anymore, the board of the housing authority. And the school district has said, we're going to take that over. And their people were already preparing the meals. And they have an entirely separate program that's been in existence for some time where people can go to kids again to about 8 schools in the county during the summer and get a lunch. So they're going to do that and this other program, and that's last year added up to about 86,000 lunches, 43,000 at the schools and 46 or 48, I forget which, that the housing authority folks were delivering.
In our concern, when we heard that it was not going to be continued, I think some of us forgot to thank the Athens Housing Authority, because every year of that 30 years that they have done this, they have lost money on the program. And so, you know, it really has been a service that they've delivered and decided that they just cannot afford again.
Is that the reason why they stopped doing it? Because
that's
because
one
of the money
them that they cited, that yeah. they lose money.
Was there no, there's no kind of like federal, because I know like the school district, their free lunches, that's like a USDA grant, but there's no federal funding or anything that the housing authority gets to do this?
Well, they do get federal funding, but they're just saying it's not enough to cover what they spend on it.
Okay.
It covers, my understanding is that it covers the food cost, but doesn't give sufficient for the delivery. And
you've
think
got
about
to get
it.
The
that's
food
huge.
To
yeah,
the
and
people.
That's huge. And that delivery requires people being out there and being connected with the community in such a way that they're. So that's my understanding. And the food bank, I talked with a representative yesterday, and they just felt like that they did not have the capacity to expand themselves to include this without hurting their other, recipients.
Sorry, you're saying that because last year the food bank did intend to take over this program, but changed their mind, the delivery part.
That's right. I think that, one, they don't have the delivery capacity that the school system has. And then, as I said, that is
that's
the,
not something they really do with it right now, is
right.
it? I mean,
yeah.
they don't run
people
meals
come
on
to
meals
them.
Or,
right.
Right. Yeah, you go to the food bank.
Right.
So. I should say that I don't think we said this. The Athens Housing Authority was taking these meals out to various parts of the county and at mobile sites. That's the difference between that and the school. The school, you go to the school. But the Athens Housing Authority was taking these lunches out into neighborhoods.
I was just going to say that in the summer, young people are home alone. I mean, parents are working, and they are in a situation where they're going to have trouble getting to these sites. So we have another challenge to making this program work.
There's always plenty of challenges, it seems. But the great news is those thousands, tens of thousands of people will still be getting their meals. I know the school district is going to announce more details in the next coming months, which is good.
Right.
Because we don't know how it's going to work right now, but those children will still get those lunches.
We hope.
Right.
There is a problem with them having to go to sites. There's no transportation, and there's no parental, there are not enough parents out there. They're working, and they're working more than one job, most of them.
Sometimes parents can't get to sites, let alone kids.
Yeah.
You know.
So is this something that's going to require the approval of the school board? I mean, do you know anything about, like, when they might discuss this or...
I
would imagine it would have to happen pretty quickly.
Because, I don't know the answer to that.
It's coming up pretty fast.
I don't know the answer to that, but Demond Means has not had any problems in making decisions without the approval of the school board.
That's true, yeah.
he seems to have
a majority in his back pocket, that's for sure.
I don't see how... I mean, if it goes to the school board, I have no doubt that
I mean,
would
I can count.
It.
I can count votes, and I can't really see that not going through. Yeah. So, yeah.
Lee, I was very interested in your report on the SPILOS that the Classic Center arena has had a very positive response.
But a lot of reservations about it too, because it's enormously expensive, and some people have doubts about the kind of jobs that it would create, although Paul Kramer, who seems to me to do an excellent job at that, the executive director, is that what he is?
Yes.
At the Classic Center?
Yes.
I think allayed some of those fears because there's a hierarchy within the food and hospitality industry, just as there is another.
My understanding is, there are a lot of kind of entry-level jobs, but it's pretty easy to get promoted within that industry. Right. So you're not going to be working at a minimum wage job for long.
Right. Shows that at the Classic Center. He has a great record. And that Bread for Life program that he's done at the Career Academy, hospitality has taken a huge step in this community because of those programs.
But again, this is an $88 million proposal. They're going to raise $30 million on their own.
But so, they're selling name rights. I don't like that.
Well, and then you got the $71 million judicial center, and you got the $44.5 million affordable housing. So how much does that all add up to? If we did all three of those, what's left for all?
That's pretty much the whole thing. I mean, that's like $200 million.
That's it for today's show. I want to thank my panelists, Gwen O'Looney, Lee Shearer, and Blake Odd. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, WXAG, or the Banner Herald. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.